This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
Pope Francis heading to a spot that's traditionally a little cooler, even in the summertime, getting ready for a trip to Canada.
Yes, indeed. He is preparing from the 24th to the 30th of this month to head to the cities of Edmonton, Quebec City, and Iqaluit. And he will be focusing on visiting members of Canadian Indigenous groups, so as well as residential school abuse survivors and other Catholics. Now, Glenn, this past Sunday in the Angelus, Pope Francis spoke about this trip, and he called it a penitential pilgrimage with the purpose to bring healing and reconciliation. And in fact, he thanked all of those who are preparing the trip for him, and he asked for prayers, especially from the faithful. Now, he recalled as well his private meetings that he had with representatives of Inuit and First Nations peoples at the Vatican at the end of March, and also the discussion that they had on the issue of financial compensation for past harms. So now, with Pope Francis' visit to Canada just a few days away, Canada's bishops have announced a special fund to support healing and reconciliation efforts with Indigenous communities. They're also accepting proposals for that. So this was a fund that was established this year to support and advance healing and reconciliation initiatives with various Indigenous communities. The bishops have announced a $30 million financial pledge over the next 5 years to support projects that are aimed at healing and reconciliation. So at this point, the Canadian bishops have collected about $4.6 million toward that $30 million. They've also begun accepting proposals for those projects. And Pope Francis, who issued an initial apology for the church's role in the residential school system abuse, at this point, even though that initial apology was given, it's widely expected by all of this, all those who are watching this trip, that the Pope will apologize again during this visit to Canada. Actually, that will essentially fulfill action point number 58 of Canada's Truth and Reconciliation Commission, which actually called for the Pope himself to apologize to survivors and their families and communities while on Canadian soil. Back to you, Glenn.
Ashley, this trip seems very important to Pope Francis. It seems like his heart is really invested in wanting to make sure that apology is there, to do that in person. He's had other trips on his schedule that have been canceled due to difficulties with his knee, but this is one that wasn't taken off the itinerary for the summer. How is his knee doing these days?
Yeah. So he has been telling us that thanks to magnet therapy and laser therapy, he has been slowly improving. And as you mentioned, Glenn, you know, this trip did stay on the docket, but the trip at the beginning of July, scheduled for July 2nd to 7th to go to the Republic of Congo as well as South Sudan, that trip did get postponed. We were told that it was at the request of his doctors because his knee was not ready for travel. And he has said that these last 20 more days of therapy and rest for his knee are what are allowing for this trip to Canada to be possible, Glenn.
Well, we're very, very glad to hear about that, and hopefully that'll be some good steps too toward reconciliation. And you know, again, when we hear things in history pop up a little bit, where you know the church maybe could have been behaving better in parts of it, and for him to acknowledge that and make this move, that's got to be seen as a good thing.
Yes, indeed. And in fact, it's reminiscent of many talks that he gave during the Jubilee. That he called, of course, the 2015-16 Jubilee, and that idea of a call for all to reconciliation. So indeed, of course, he asked for prayers that will come to fruition.
Ashley Nerona joining us from Rome. She's our Rome reporter here on Relevant Radio, getting the latest in the Holy Father's travels soon to Canada here. Americans traveling to Italy, a lot of folks do that, and that's part of what you and your husband John do is show folks some of the great sights and help them navigate in a variety of ways while they're over there. And, you know, the era of taking selfies finds people in some awkward and sometimes dangerous spots to get those pictures in, including falling into a volcano.
Oh, my goodness. No, Glenn, you're right. Exactly. Can you imagine? So first of all, Glenn, you are, of course, referring to Mount Vesuvius. Now, this is the only volcano on the European mainland to have erupted within the last 100 years. So it's considered one of the most dangerous volcanoes in the world. Why? Because of the population of 3 million people who are living near enough to be severely affected by an eruption. So this is the most densely populated volcanic region in the world. Well, sure enough, this is a volcano that tourists can visit. You can hike up. There are special paths, special guides that allow that opportunity to go up Vesuvius and to peek in and see this volcano in action. Maybe some of our listeners have had the chance to do that. Well, so the story that you're mentioning, Glenn, a 23-year-old American tourist and three of his relatives decided to take a walk up Mount Vesuvius, but decided to bypass the visitor entrance to the volcano and take a closed route, a route that was forbidden to the public to go up to the summit. And as they traveled, this 23-year-old American man lost his balance. He fell several meters into a crater of Mount Vesuvius. So fortunately, he was rescued by Carabinieri, that's our armed military police, and then he received treatment for his injuries from emergency services who came to the scene. So the end of the story was that he got away with some light injuries, but the boy, the tourist, and his family were cited by the police for taking that prohibited route, which was indeed clearly marked as being highly dangerous, also as being out of bounds. So glad to say that that story does have a happy ending for that family, but it's a good reminder to follow the signs, Glenn.
Oh, his mom is not happy, I am sure.
Yeah,
my goodness. Or as his producer Sarah's sister says, hey, that's what you get. But, falling into a volcano, we imagine that kind of like a cartoon thing, you know, and suddenly a person gets kind of bubbled and spit back out. Or, you know, with all the years of all the kids in America learning to, you know, play that the floor is hot lava, you'd think we'd be a little better at that, being careful. But my only chance to see a volcano in real life was in Mexico City or in the outskirts, getting a look on the horizon at Popocatépetl, which is fun to say and takes a little practice. But that was steaming away, and we could see it from several miles away, which was close enough. But that was something you don't get to see every day in my life, that's for sure. Now, as far as travel in Italy, too, a new way to get from the airport to the center of Rome.
Glenn, okay, so imagine this. So a journey, when you arrive at the international airport here called Fiumicino, to get to the city center takes about 45 minutes when you consider traffic, etc. Now imagine that journey time being cut down to just 15 minutes, because there are futuristic plans that have just been unveiled by the airport of Roma, as well as a group called Atlantia. And they are collaborating right now to make that journey time 15 minutes by air. So imagine this. It's called the Volocopter, and it's a collaboration with a German company, and they want Rome to become a Volo city that uses drones to transport people from the airport to the center. So imagine getting in a flying taxi. And so it's a two-seater air taxi that would be able to hold you and your luggage, basically. Now, throughout the city of Rome, they've put a few exhibits so that people could actually see what this could really look like, so that people could climb inside. And how does it work? Well, the Volo City will connect the Fiumicino Airport with multiple locations in the city of Rome. They're via what are called vertiports. So a vertiport facilitates a vertical takeoff and landing for these large-scale unmanned aircrafts that, and these Verte ports will be in various parts of populated areas. Now imagine it's a battery powered service, but they claim that the user will indeed travel in comfort and in quality. And we can expect this within the next 2, maximum 3 years is what they tell us, Glenn. The future is now.
Ashley, are you ready to try that?
I think I'll watch for a while first.
Yes. I'm just picturing getting dropped on the front lawn like the Amazon drones. We were led to believe how that would work. But anyway, best of luck to that effort into the future as we're getting closer to the Jetsons all the time.
Finally,
getting back to some of the church calendar here, talk a little bit about the celebrations for the upcoming feast of St. Bridget and also for St. Mary Magdalene.
Yes, of course. Well, as you know, Glenn, Italians love to celebrate in style. And right here in Rome, on the Feast of St. Mary Magdalene, which is coming up, what will happen is people will go from across the city to visit a church called San Giovanni dei Fiorentini, St. John of the Florentines, is what that means if we translate it directly, because there on a side altar, which is dedicated to St. Mary Magdalene, is also an inscription that is explaining the particular significance of a very precious relic. There's a gorgeous silver reliquary in the shape of a foot that holds the relic of the foot of St. Mary Magdalene herself. Now, of course, this is so important because this was the first foot to step into that empty tomb. And the relic for some time had been lost, but only in the year 2000 was that foot of St. Mary Magdalene again identified and subsequently enshrined right there at the Church of St. John the Baptist. And it's this reliquary, this beautiful silver reliquary that I mentioned, was designed by the famous Florentine artist Benvenuto Cellini. He lived from 1500 to 1571. And so what will happen, of course, on her feast day is that pilgrims from around the city will come especially to venerate that beautiful relic and, of course, to remember that moment when she stepped foot on the morning that we now call Easter into the tomb of Jesus with the reminder to all of us to take that step to meet the risen Christ, something that we're all called to do, Glenn. And then you also brought up St. Bridget of Sweden, whose feast day is coming up on the 23rd. And she was another wonderful, remarkable woman. She was a noblewoman. She was a mystic and a saint. She was, of course, also the founder of the Brigittine sisters and monks. And she founded the Brigittines after the death of her husband, who she was married to for 20 years. And then not so long ago, Pope St. John Paul II declared her co-patroness of Europe. So right here in the heart of Rome, in the northwest corner of Piazza Farnese, not many people realize that there is a discreet church that's dedicated to St. Bridget. And it's run by those Brigittine sisters who I mentioned. And their charism is specifically penance. And so you will see them walking around in their gray habits, the gray to represent that penance, in their black veils, the black to represent their death to things of the world. But it's also quite interesting because around their head, they have very distinctive headwear. And it's like a crown that's connected to a white band, almost in the shape of a cross around their heads. But there are red dots that go around it, and those represent the five wounds of Christ. And on her feast day, pilgrims will come from throughout the city, not only to have mass in that beautiful church of St. Bridget right there in Piazza Farnese, but also with special permission to visit the rooms of St. Bridget, the same rooms where she lived and she died, and where some of her relics are visible today. So as we prepare for these special feast days, we of course ask St. Mary Magdalene and St. Bridget of Sweden to pray for us.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Narona every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.